Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello.
You don't look nearly as tan as I thought you would.
Look at my arms. They are not white as they were before. Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm ready.
What is that?
These are my medals.
I was going to say, did you just throw on an Olympic medal? Because, like, I thought you were in Mexico, but it turns out Russia?
I'm not in Mexico. It's a lie. I didn't go to Mexico. I went to Russia to watch Canada win.
Pretend
this is gold. No, these are my Extra Life medals, and I just want to rub it into our American listeners just a little bit.
I don't have my medals yet.
You'll probably get them soon, but you'll get a funky gold one.
Yeah, I'll get the, you know, actual best medal.
Yeah. Yeah, I consider this platinum, and in the world of Pokemon, platinum is a little bit better than gold.
I think that's in the real world, too.
Is it?
Platinum's better than gold? Yeah.
I always thought gold was, like, anyways, we can get into metals later.
So, basically, you've been away. That is why we missed, well... combination of things is why we missed last week. So last week was Valentine's, and my Valentine's is actually quite video game related. How about yours? Oh, wait, not because Mexico.
Mine was not. I didn't play any video games. The closest thing I saw to a video game was I was walking down Fifth Avenue, which is basically like Clifton Hill in Mexico for our Canadian listeners, and for our American listeners, it's like, I don't know, downtown New York or something. I don't know. Anyways, I was walking down and I saw a t-shirt and there was definitely some sort of copyright infringement going on where Mario was in like a mariachi outfit and he was like the flying Mario, you know, like the classic Mario 3 flying Mario.
Mm-hmm.
I almost called Nintendo. It was pretty...
You was, totally should have.
It was pretty brash. There was a lot of copyright infringement in Mexico.
I don't think the copyright laws cross Mexican borders.
Well, you know what? Maybe those companies need to stop suing, you know, Americans and Canadians and start looking south, because...
Focus on Mexico.
There was like... Okay, they have a weird obsession with Homer Simpson, and they did Homer Simpson in, like, a bunch of Marvel outfits, and, like, him as an alien from Aliens. It was really weird. Like, come on, Mexico.
Oh, poor Mexico. So, my Valentine's did involve a little bit of WoW, although not on actual Valentine night Valentine's, more like Valentine weekend. So, I did the world event, I got all my achievements, so dude, I am one event away from my Drake.
Which event?
Midsummer, which is the one right around Nerdtacular.
Oh, Nerdtacular again.
Yes. Will it happen? We are coming up to Nerdtacular, which I'm super excited about. We are going this year. It's going to be super fun. I have vowed never to miss a year again. I missed it back in 2011, so we went to 2012, went to 2013, and we're going 2014. I will not miss it again. So it's fantastic. I'm looking forward to Nerdtacular. I'm looking forward to getting my Drake right before Nerdtacular so I can rub it into all the faces of all the people who don't have it. It's been a long time coming. But yeah, so I did some of that on, I guess, Saturday. I hung out with my friends Al the Mage and Quoted Nevermore on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They both helped me through some of that. It was also AIE's anniversary, so there was a pet battle picnic, and there were all kinds of super cool events. I participated in a PvP thing where we went and took over Stormwind so that some of the AIE people could renew their vows. It was like... It was so awesome.
Wow. That sounds like a big old community event. That sounds great.
It was. It's why I love AIE so much, is just doing these big events and all these kind of things that the officers just go above and beyond for the community each and every day. So thank you to AIE officers. You are amazing. So that was my like Valentine's weekend, although Joel and I did play some Hearthstone and some StarCraft on Valentine's night, and I am so into StarCraft again right now, dude. Like, I went off it for like 6 months, and now I'm like watching Husky. I'm like playing and failing hardcore, but playing.
If someone joined into the show like right at that moment where you were back into, you were off it for 6 months and you're back on it hard, they might think this is like an AA meeting or something. It's like, I've been doing so much Husky.
I let it slip.
You just let it slip. Hi, my name's Jocelyn, and I'm a StarCraft addict.
I've been doing too much Husky.
Oh. You know it's a street drug. I'm sorry, Husky, yeah. But you know you've inspired a street drug at some point.
Completely. Yeah. So that kind of I wanted to touch on because we have been doing TGI game night every Thursday night mm-hmm. again now that Ryan's back from Mexico. So next week we're going to do a 3v3 or 4v4 depending on how many people we can get, and we're going to be doing a girls versus guys. So I have a couple of ladies in mind to come and join me on the girls' side of that. So I think we're going to kick your butt, and I don't even know who my team is yet. So boom.
Well, how do you know me and the guys? I didn't go to Mexico. We just practiced StarCraft for a week.
You've just been hiding out in your basement. Just tell them I'm in Mexico.
Yeah. Mexico is code for do StarCraft. I don't know. We didn't really think a lot about the code. We just
fail.
We're gonna kick your butt. It'll be great. And it'll be right. Televised. We're gonna have like a dual box system at some point so you that can watch true. Both streams.
Yeah, so for the Gamers In game night, which we've been doing on Thursday nights, Ryan has been streaming to our Gamers In channel, so if you're not following it, you should go over to twitch.tv/thegamersin and follow that, so you'll be updated every time Ryan goes live, and then I've been streaming my view of whatever we're playing over on twitch.tv/GISGamer, so check out both those streams, subscribe, join us Thursday nights, because this last week, we had a blast. So last night, we played Diablo 3. Ryan and I both started new characters because we're trying to ramp up for the new expansion. So, Ryan, I mean, I've been away from Diablo 3 for a really long time. So, it's probably been a good year and a half since I touched that game. So, how did you feel getting back into it? Because we both started from nothing and kind of, it wasn't necessarily new. Like, we went through content that I've done. We got all the way to killing the Skeleton King. It felt so easy. What did you think it was like?
Yeah, I mean, it felt easy, and part of, we said this multiple times on the stream, like, we gotta remember, it will get difficult, and the Skeleton King was no pushover, he did, you know, get a couple licks in, but...
I don't know, I feel like they must have patched it and made it easier, because I remember playing, and it was a similar situation where I was playing a wizard, and the other person I was playing with was playing, I believe, a monk, anyway, some kind of melee class, and it was right after Diablo 3 launched, and it was so difficult. Like, we died, like, 8 or 10 times. And, I mean, like, you and I went in and killed them and kept going, you know? Like, there was no... It barely felt to me like a boss fight. Like, he did that kind of jumpy around thing, and I was like, whoa, what's going on? But, you know, like, we downed them pretty quick, so... And I'm not saying that, like, who I was playing with before was bad or, you know, anything like that.
Because he may be listening or in the other room.
He may not be listening. But, you know, like, I mean, I just felt like there was such a huge difference. And, I mean, one of the two classes was exactly the same. Because when I first faced the Skeleton King, I was playing Wizard. So that's the class that you picked up last night was a Wizard.
Yeah.
And so now I'm playing a Demon Hunter, which again, that's two ranged classes. So, you know, maybe it makes a difference being melee versus ranged. But anyways, you know, I just felt like it was so much easier. And I don't know, I haven't heard too much. I haven't been following Diablo very often. You know, like I know back when A-Move Radio was This Week in Blizz, they often touched on some of the changes in Diablo, but I don't remember them mentioning it. Have you heard anything about, like, an XP squish or a difficulty change or anything like that?
Not really. I mean, like you, it's been June 2012 since I played, and that game came out in May 2012, so it had a very short shelf life for me. I mean, it's always been on the hard drive. It's a Blizzard game. You know, it deserves the megabytes or gigabytes or whatever, but... No, I mean, I remember Act 1 being pretty simple, and I think the only the difficulty I had with Act 1 was actually when I visited the console version in the fall, and I kept dying, and I actually had, I was like, okay, I gotta stop, because I had died like 10 times, and I don't know whether it was like the controller, or whether like the console was tuned differently, because I don't know, like... I would think when multiple people are in the game and we're balanced because we started at the same level at the same point of the story, it would both be a little bit more difficult but also a little easier, if that makes any sense.
No, like, it makes no sense.
It makes no sense, right? But hear me out. Like, it's like at certain points there's like more enemies coming at you, so you handle them more. But when there's just that one boss, there's always just that one boss. And if we've both played MMOs before, so we know how to like avoid attacks and get out of the way and sort of crowd control. Mm-hmm. So I think it was easier in that sense because we were fighting one dude. But when there was multiple guys on screen, it got a little hairy. I mean, we never came That's close to dying.
True. Every once in a while, we kind of got swarmed. But the mm-hmm. other thing I noticed is, oh my god, dude, all the health potions. They were everywhere. It was like every single guy that we killed dropped a health potion. So I was just running around, and I was just like, I never even had to monitor my health, which is something else I remember from last time, mm-hmm. is getting gear with health regen on it was really important, because as soon as I didn't have any health regen, it was like, oh, I'm dead. Like, that's it.
Right.
So I think I only had to use one potion, and it was right before the Skeleton King fight.
Well, the beauty
of... And that
was
just so that you didn't have to wait for me, for my health to come back up.
Well, the thing about Diablo is that there are difficulty levels, but you have to earn them. So mm-hmm. There was no way we were going to, like... You haven't even finished the main story, so there's no way we were going to be able to get to Nightmare Mode that night to experience what we wanted to experience. But the great thing about Reaper of Souls is I'm pretty sure there's a feature where you can go into a new mode, like called Adventure or Conquest or insert, you know, lore name here, that will allow you to choose a difficulty and choose some parameters to basically set up the Diablo game and experience that you want while still earning gear. Now I could be wrong, and there might be like a mode similar to that, but I know Blizzard is trying to address that. Probably like trying to create a game for the hardcores, but also create a Diablo game that will appeal to the new players, right? Mm-hmm. The people who are used to saying, you know, I'm a pretty hardcore gamer. I'm going to kick it up to Legendary right away because I enjoy hurting myself, you know? So part of the reason we played Diablo 3, or the reason I suggested it, was because, like, I'm sitting on the fence about Reaper of Souls. Like, I'll buy any new Blizzard game, but I'm not so sure about this one because Diablo 3 was kind of a played it, liked it, moved on, didn't really shatter any walls.
Did you finish it the first time through?
I did. Yeah, I finished it. Okay. I mean, I have a couple close friends that are like Diablo hardcores, so I remember actually rushing through it before I went back home for a barbecue because I know they'd be talking about the story, and I'm like, la 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 la, you know, the ending. Yeah. Don't tell me, but no, I did finish it and I enjoyed it. And well, last night I had said, like, the only time I had difficulty was the final boss.
Yeah.
That was really heart-pounding right there.
So we did get through the Skeleton King, mm-hmm. and so I think we're probably, now we're back in New Tristram, and mm-hmm. probably very close to the end of Act 1, I think. We're almost level 10, both of us, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when Act 1 ends. I know there's a story point in New Tristram, but I can't remember if you go away before coming back, but
mm-hmm. yeah. I felt like probably because I played through it a little bit slower back a year and a half ago, but I found that I was really doing the, you know, run out, do a quest, go back to the town, run out, go back, run out, go back. And I didn't remember so much back and forth before, but I really think that it has to do with playing through it so much faster this time through. Yeah. Like, it was much more noticeable that you were like out and back and out and back and out and back. And I was kind of like, oh, this is less fun. Not really less fun, but I just like, it was definitely noticeable. But I am enjoying it. I mm-hmm. think I really do enjoy Diablo. And especially since we seem to be blowing through Act 1 in particular, where we're not paying so much attention to the lore because we both played it through. I think I've played it through. I have a level, I think, 30, a level 10, and then the one that we're working on. So I've played through level 1 at least twice. Or not level 1, sorry. Act 1. Yeah. At least twice. So I'm really not having that much of a problem flying through stuff, and it's going by quickly, and I'm enjoying it. I think going through and like reading all the lore, as interesting as it is, since I'm not immersed in the Diablo universe, I kind of just want to play the game. I don't care about the story. What are your thoughts on the Diablo story in particular?
I mean, I enjoy all sort of Blizzard story. I think they do a great job of pairing a story to the gameplay and the moments. And I enjoy the character designs, and by that pairing, I enjoy the stories that go with it. But, you know, I'm not as hardcore as I would be maybe in StarCraft, which is weird because I sort of came into StarCraft and Diablo at the same time, like halfway through the series, didn't really know much about the previous games. But no, I
am exactly the same way with StarCraft. I came into it just before Heart of the Swarm. I blew through Wings of Liberty, the campaign, in probably 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, utterly loved it. Had to go look it up online to find out what happened in StarCraft just to fully prep for Heart of the Swarm. And then I played Heart of the Swarm between the multiplayer and the campaign. Like, I blew through the campaign in like a week and a half. And then I played the multiplayer for probably 3 months just constantly. Mm-hmm. And I find that StarCraft really sucked me in. I loved the story. And I think the difference there is that gameplay and story were fairly separate. It's like you get a cutscene, and then you have to do something, which is your strategy part of the game, and then you get another cutscene. Sometimes it's halfway through the level, but like they're very distinct, like, okay, now you're playing the game, and I'm going to tell you a story after. And they tied together in a way, but it wasn't like while you were trying to do something, the story was trying to overwhelm you at the same time. You know, they were still separate. And the story in StarCraft is so robust that I was just like, yep, this is it. This has got me. I'm hooked. I'm done. And Diablo just didn't do that for me. It was too much like voiceover while I was playing, things popping up. Like, you know, it pops up in the chat room, plus it pops up, I feel like, somewhere else. And then it's voiced over as well. And it just feels like they're like, story, 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 right in my face all the time while I'm trying to kill mobs and mobs and mobs. So, yeah, I think Diablo needs to work on that balancing act for me between gameplay and story. I'm not saying the Diablo story is bad, because I know that there are some people that really pay attention to the lore and think that Diablo is awesome, but I don't know the story of 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So I'm really coming into it at a disadvantage, and I know it's not their job to explain it to me because I'm brand new to the series, but at the same time, like, I don't know, a little bit more little bits and pieces to explain things instead of just like split all the time while I'm trying to play.
Well, I think like the earlier Blizzard games, I think the purpose of the Diablo story was, you're a dude, you gotta get to this other place and kill this main thing, and while you do that, you're gonna collect a lot of loot. And the story was basically set up that way. Like, Diablo 1 was, Blizzard goes back and adds and fleshes it out and says, no, what really happened, Diablo was all this, and then in Diablo 2 was all this. But in the game, it's like, you're gonna kill Diablo, you're gonna kill his brothers, and it really is just like, Diablo comes back. He comes back, he comes back, you know? It's like Ganon in Legend of Zelda. You know, it's going to be Ganon unless, you know, it's some dude.
It's just always him.
It's always him.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and, I enjoy the Diablo 3 story, and I think it's just because of the way Blizzard showcases it. But you're right, there's like a lot of overlaying. Mm-hmm. And I think the characters in StarCraft are a little bit more likable. Everyone's kind of a dick in Diablo when you think about it. Except Deckard Cain. He's all right.
Yeah, that's true. So in terms of Diablo 3, because we did mention we're playing StarCraft 2 next week, because I'm way back into it again.
Good.
But we're playing StarCraft 2 for game night next week. So are we playing Diablo 3 on our own? Like, what are we going to do? Because we do have the expansion coming out very, very shortly. So
expansion comes out in a month. I don't know. I've already played through it, so if you want someone to play through it, I will certainly jump into Sim Diablo. I have no problem with that.
So if I get a few levels ahead of you, is that going to like break your heart and stuff?
No. If you got free time and you're like, I want to play Diablo 3, go nuts. But you know what? If it's also a reasonable time and a reasonable day, you want to send me a message, I'll jump on Diablo.
All right, sounds good. And I'm sure that after game night, our StarCraft game night, will probably flip-flop back to Diablo, and then we've got to play something that's not Blizzard, dude.
People are going to
get pissed.
Well, what did we play before?
Oh, we played Mass Effect. I guess that's not Blizzard.
That's probably not going to make anybody happy, because that's all we played last time we had game night.
That's true.
We need more multiplayer games.
And you guys, tweet us, email us, let us know what you want us to play on game night. I'm really looking forward to StarCraft, but after that, it is wide open, so just let us know what you want to see us play. Providing it's already in our libraries.
Or it's free to play.
Yeah, we will try free to play stuff. So what I know both Ryan and I played in our spare time this week, and spoilers, guys, so if you haven't played this yet, turn off the podcast. Do it now. Are you turning it off? Because turn it off.
How do I turn it off?
Actually, I haven't even told them what the spoilers are yet.
Yeah, so they don't even... Now everyone's gone because they just think you're going to spoil everything.
Yeah. So we both played The Wolf Among Us, Episode 2. So if you haven't played Episode 1 or you haven't played Episode 2, then we are going to talk about it, and we're going to talk about it openly, and I am fully intending that there be spoilers. We're not going to go through it plot point by plot point, but we're also not going to hold back. So if you haven't played Wolf Among Us Episode 2 yet, or Episode 1, because obviously they build on each other, then just kind of fast forward about, 15 minutes maybe, give or take. So, spoiler mode in 3, 2, 1, you better be fast forwarding. Okay, so Wolf Among Us, first thing, so disappointed right off the start. Only because as soon as they revealed that Snow White was still alive, I was just like, oh my God, this is right up there with, it was all a dream. Like, I was so mad.
I felt a little cheated, especially when I found out that, like, everybody, when the end of episode one happened, everyone's like, but Snow White's alive in the comics. And I'm like, well, thanks for yelling that at the top of your Twitter lungs.
I'm pretty sure that they said, though, that this is not canon. So they've basically, in a sense, thrown the comic books out. Like, they're saying, like, this is, you know, reimagining in the same universe with the same characters, but anything is game. I was really excited and happy because I was like, this is great. You know, it's a franchise based on a well-loved comic that is literally killing off the main character right off the start. Like, this is fantastic. It's going to be totally new. We're going to see things we never expected to see. And, you know, I'm really excited to see what they do with this and what dynamics form and all the rest of it and kind of who steps up into that, like, main character, strong female role. And then it's like, oh, just kidding. It wasn't Snow White. It was a glamour. Ha, ha, ha. And I was like, oh, man. Oh, we're doing that trope, are we? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I think it is canon, but I've never read the comics. So it's kind of like I go into it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Because you kind of felt like Snow White was the main character or at least a close main character. But
right. Well, yeah, because the sheriff or the big bad wolf is the main character.
But there was stuff that happened in this episode where I'm questioning, like, well, that guy seems like he would be, you know, a main character in the series, but...
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Ichabod. I, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but, you know, I felt like stuff that happened to him was like, oh, okay, well... I kind of feel like I need to go ahead and read the prequel, like the comics, like at least the first few episodes. But then I feel like that would also be like a, oh, well, I guess he survives and I don't know. I'm not going to do my homework.
I was going to say, what you should probably do if you're going to do that is find out if that would spoil. Because I thought that the whole point of it was with it being placed, you know, before, it's just this whole separate universe because they didn't want people who were fans of the comics to have everything already spoiled for them. Kind of similar to what they did with Walking Dead, although Walking Dead doesn't necessarily play off of the main characters in the comic books. It's based in the same universe at the same time. Sometimes they run into those comic book characters, but it's other people in the same universe, so anything's game. Right. So I think in terms of the actual Wolf Among Us, where it's the same characters, I thought that they had said that, you know, just because they're in a certain role as of, you know, comic book one doesn't necessarily mean that that's where the Wolf Among Us is going to end up.
But did you, okay, so moving away from that, like, did you feel like the reveal at the beginning, like Snow White's alive, did you feel like that whole setup by the end of the episode was worth the whole switcheroo? Or do you just not like being shocked for the sake of being shocked? You know, because it kind of felt cheap when it lines right up all the way until the very end when they start to piece it together, like why the person looked like Snow White.
I mean, it was a really cool story. The fact that Snow White is still in peril is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But I think that everything that they did, all that piecing together all the way to the end to reveal who the bad guy was, could have been done whether Snow was alive or dead. And I think that story would have been served better if she was dead.
Yeah, I could see it working both ways. And I also see, like, you know, Telltale not wanting to kill off, like, a main character and just leaving. Because I think you see it in that first segment of episode 2 where it's really hard to be the nice wolf when you know that possibly your love interest is dead. Or you know that she's dead.
And see, that's kind of what I thought was so interesting, is it's like the struggle that the main wolf character, is it Bigby?
Yeah.
So the struggle that the big bad wolf, Bigby, who you play, would have had to go through to try to still maintain that, like, you know, you are the law, you are the sheriff, you have to uphold all of these, you know, good rule, you know, solidness things. So you have to uphold all of that. Meanwhile, you're, you know, in this crazy personal turmoil, not to mention your wolf-like characteristics to begin with, and just that kind of turmoil and strive for balance and everything else, while Snow is dead, you know? Like, now it just kind of seems easy, you know? Yeah. And I found it very slow and easy to play in comparison to episode one, because, I mean, I just picked all of the kind of, like, softer wolf-type actions, you know, like when you're interrogating the dude. I was just like, here, have a drink, have a smoke, tell me everything, I'm your bud. And that was really easy. And I guess at that point, I did still think Snow was dead, because that's kind of when she comes barging in. But at the same time, you know, it was just kind of like, I did all the nice guy things, and I didn't do any of the mean things, and the whole game seemed to progress very slowly. It didn't seem like there were as many nice options in episode one, and maybe I just didn't pick them, but I felt like it kind of, like, eased off the gas a little bit, and I was like, oh, this is disappointing.
Well, I did the same thing, and I find it hard to be a dick in video games unless I'm given, like, a reason to be. Like, if someone does something stupid, like Mass Effect 3, for example, when they had those paragons, like, when that reporter was giving me shit, I punched her. I don't care if my Mass Effect guy was a dude and she was a chick. I punched her. She got in my way. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I do.
Okay,
well, I was typing, and I didn't want you to hear, so.
No, that's fine. So you know what I'm talking about. So in this game, it's like, even when you're in the interrogation, like, we're already suspicious of Bluebeard being some evil dude, so I don't want to do what he wants to do. I don't want to give into that shit. So I'm being nice while thinking, what would Snow White have me do? But I knew...
Oh, see, I wasn't taking her into account at all. All I was thinking is, I'm like, okay, you are clearly here just to torture the dude.
Yeah.
I'm gonna not. All right? All right.
Yeah. And then once Snow White was back in the picture, it's like, okay, I want her on my side, and... I wonder what would have happened if, like, I feel like Snow White is able to defend herself, and that's why it was such a surprise when she died in episode one. Died. Mm. You know, I don't think she's the defenseless,
damsel in distress.
Yeah, I don't think she's a damsel in distress, and I don't feel like this game is trying to make her that.
Yeah.
Because she does have, well...
I almost feel like it would have been even more shocking if she just straight up died, because there's always so much pressure to put, like, strong female characters in, and when you put strong female characters in, well, you know they're not going to die because they're strong female characters. It's like, if they put a strong female character in and she is in there until she gets, like, brutally murdered and her head is chopped off, like, that is very impactful, I think.
Yeah.
Way more impactful than strong female character. Oh, no, she's dead, but she's not. She's back. It's like, no. It would have had more impact the other way, actually.
Yeah.
Even if all the other characters are, like, you know, weepy damsel in distress princess type characters, which that's what they're based on, then, you know, like, even if that was the case, that would be okay to me. You know, I'd be like, well, you know what? Snow White was so strong, they had to chop her head off to stop her. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand, and it would have been a very different episode if she didn't come back alive, because there would have been a lot of things that I think we wouldn't have even been given the option to do. Like,
yeah,
but you know, I think she'll serve a purpose. Like now that we know that she's sort of the target, or kind of creepily leading up to her as being the target, but it was just, you know, at the very end, I was just confused, you know. Like, after that whole stripper scene, like, it was like, that was pretty, you know, they didn't need to linger on that. Like, why are we in this strip club? Like, I'm going to break your boombox. No, now I'm going to break your DJ station. Now
that
I'm
going to
break
your forever.
TV. I was like, come on, dude, just tell me what you want. I don't want to have to break your shit.
I know. And then in the end, I don't know how long you went when you went through saying, like, just tell me, just tell me.
I went the whole way. I didn't hit anything.
Oh, did you?
Okay, I just kept going.
I finally gave up because I thought the next step might be beating the shit out of the stripper. And I was like, okay, I know I'm not going to do that. So I smashed the DJ booth.
Really?
Well, because you were kind of moving around the room. So you started with the boombox, and then you went to the cigarette machine, and then you went to the stuff on the bar, and then you went to the safe behind the bar. Then there was, like, the sign, and then there was something else that that moved you back towards the DJ booth. Then there was the DJ booth, and then the next, like, thing in the circuit, which would have brought you back to where you started, was the stripper on the stripper pole. And I'm like, I am not hitting a girl in the face who is naked with a baseball bat. I draw the line.
So you thought that you would break all his worldly possessions and then he'd finally give in when you started beating up his stripper. That's a little, like, give Telltale some credit. I don't think any game would do that. Like,
I don't know. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I didn't break anything the whole way around. I was like, no, dude, just tell me. Tell me. And you're just moving around the room. And then I thought either, okay, I'm going to get the game over screen because I refused to cross that line and break something. So he just didn't tell me anything. And that's game over. Mm-hmm. Or I thought I'm going to, like, the last chance I'm going to have to beat something is going to be this poor naked stripper.
No, you do not get to hit.
Maybe before I get to the stripper, I should probably just break the DJ booth. And so I broke the DJ booth, and then he told me what I needed to know. So, guys, I don't actually know. Like, disclaimer, I didn't get that far. I didn't go that way. So I don't know if there's actually beating of strippers in Wolf Among Us. There are boobies, but I don't think that there's beating strippers.
Yeah. We had that debate. You remember when we finished the spoiler cast for episode one? I said there was boobies in the teaser. Proven right.
Yeah.
So that discussion has been solved. But I went the whole way and was like, you know, I don't want to wreck his stuff for some. I don't know why I was stuck in nice mode. Maybe I was tired. I played through it after Gamers in Game Night because you said it was short, and it was. Yeah. It was about an hour and a half for me.
It didn't even seem to take me that long.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that was partly because it was good, because I did enjoy it. I will say, though, alongside it being a little short, and someone reminded me that episode one came out in October. Is that true?
Yeah.
That is a long time to wait.
A long time to wait for that amount of content.
Yeah, and I mean,
if Telltale, you're going to release something episodically, mm-hmm. then you should probably do it, like, once a month or something. Like, it's got to be more, like, timed better.
I would rather wait an extra year for season two to get episodes 1 through 5 in at least a once every other month fashion. Now, I know with Walking Dead season 2, they released in mid-December, and they've already announced that episode 2 will be coming out in March, but that's still 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And that's, it'll probably end up being 3 months when it comes right down to it, and that's still a bit of a wait.
I'm not a huge fan of the episodic release style anyway.
I'd rather have a conclusion and then wait the 2 years for the sequel if there's going to be that option.
Exactly, yeah. I would rather just, you know, get the whole entire game that I can play at my pace. Although I will say I've enjoyed Wolf Among Us Episode 1 and 2 much better than I enjoyed Walking Dead Episode 1 and 2. And mm-hmm. that could have to do with the fact that I've had to wait, so I can only play an hour at a time. But, I mean, when it's all said and done, like, it's going to take me a year to experience 5 hours of gameplay. Like, I don't know about that one.
Well, and can I, as long as we're complaining and giving...
I'm not complaining. Well, I do enjoy the art style. I do enjoy the story. I really like the Fables universe. Like, mm-hmm. I think that this is something that everyone should experience. And in the end, it's an episode 2 of, is it 4 or 5?
5.
5. Mm-hmm. So it is very much like the kind of uptick, you know, it's the filler in the middle. It's part 2 of any 3 to 5, you know, story arcs. So, I mean, episode 2 is never the best. It's always, you know, 1 is awesome. The conclusion is awesome. Sometimes 3 or 4, usually not both, are awesome. You know, something is good right in the middle and then there's good on either ends. But, you know, it's very rare for 2 to really be solid. So, that being said, everyone should play it, but...
I had a huge issue, and I don't know, I want to see if you had this one as well, with lip syncing.
Yes.
It was really bad.
It was so bad. Like, and that's not normally something I notice. But yeah, no, it was even comparing episode 2 to episode 1, so bad. Yeah. So bad.
I mean, I, for one, am looking forward to Telltale getting a new engine. And I know we're not going to... I've already seen the art for the Borderlands one. I know we're not going to have a new engine for Borderlands. Mm-hmm. But I just... If they do it with Game of Thrones, that's the way to go, because Game of Thrones is such a high-end story, driven, like fantasy-based, just epic property that you need to give it the utmost respect. And, mm-hmm. and I think a new engine, like a next-gen engine for that, lip-syncing, guys. Please, yeah. Lip-syncing. Joel has ruined video games for me. He's like,
right?
Hey, Ryan, have you ever noticed when people talk like this, like they move their lips like that and the words don't line up? Doesn't that suck? Video games ruined.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, so, Joel.
Sorry to everyone out there that's currently listening to this podcast that we just totally ruined video games for you too. But yeah, don't ever watch any kind of animated anything or video game anything with someone who used to be an animator, because honestly... ruins it. It just all of it ruined. So overall, I enjoyed the story. I mean, there was the couple of different venues. I felt like we only went to like 3 or 4 different places, but again, they didn't have to introduce us to any characters, so there wasn't so much backstory. But overall, I think, you know, if episode 1 was kind of a 4 out of 5 stars, I would say this is probably a 3. You know, it was definite a downturn from the last one, especially when they just completely canceled out their big cliffhanger. But overall, I think it was interesting. It was worth playing. I'm glad that I picked it up, so.
Yeah, it'll be a long wait for episode 3. Mm-hmm. And that'll be the theme of every episode of Gamers Inn, where we talk about one of these episodic games, because...
Yeah.
It's never too soon.
Yeah, it's never as fast as you want it to be. And speaking of never as fast as you want it to be, I have teased that I'm doing my Assassin's Creed 4 review for on my Doghouse, for Doghouse. So that should be up sometime next week. I just have to check with Kimmy on the timing of that. But Assassin's Creed 4 review on the Doghouse is going to be up on the Doghouse Network sometime next week. So on that note, Ryan and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. So head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. And that brings us to our topic of the week this week, which is news of the week, because Ryan has been away for 2 weeks, so we didn't do a show last week, and there were 3 pretty significant stories that have happened in the last kind of 10 days or so. The first is this really cool emulator thing that's going on Twitch using input from the chat room called Twitch Plays Pokemon. So if you haven't heard of this, is it Pokemon Red?
Yeah, it's the original Game Boy title.
Right, so someone has emulated that. And then using input from Twitch chat in one of 2 modes that Twitch chat votes on by typing it into the actual chat window, they are basically controlling the game. And so there's like a scroll of all the commands that the game is doing, and there's 1 of 2 game modes. So there is either democracy mm-hmm. or anarchy. And if it's anarchy, the emulator randomly picks from the Twitch chat as to what commands it's going to input into the game. If it's democracy, it takes 20 seconds, and then whatever the most amount of people have entered, that's the command that goes into the game. So democracy, they are progressing better but slower. When it's anarchy mode and people just type in democracy or anarchy, and it can swing the game mode either way. And then so when it's anarchy, then the game is all over the place. It moves faster when the kind of when people work together and everyone puts in the same code, it'll move forward faster because you don't have to wait that 20 seconds in between game keys. But at the same time, you could have someone in there just being a dick if everyone's like up, 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 and I could just sit there typing down, 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 you know, just to be a jerk.
There has been some great GIFs come out of this whole Twitch thing, and one of the best ones I've seen is there's this like weird like kid on a computer, and he's like typing, and then it shows the game, and there's like moments in Pokemon where you can jump down ledges sort of as like a shortcut to mm-hmm. get back to town after like going through the maze to the top of the building and or mm-hmm. the top of the mountain. And it shows like him like typing, and then it'll show like the chat room going up, down, up, down, 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 and then it turns out that they make the character jump back down the ledge after it's taken them like 20 hours to get all the way around. And then it just shows like the computer guy, he just turns the camera, he goes, you know. There's been so many GIFs come out of this thing. It's been great, and I don't even know where they are. I think they're at, right now, they're at like the Team Rocket warehouse, which is not far, I don't think. Yeah. And they've been at it for like 6 days.
More than that. It was 8 days when I checked, believe, on Wednesday or Thursday. I heard about it on Wednesday, so I checked last night, and I actually watched it go by for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I was just like, oh my God, I can't even, like...
Yeah, you're right.
Especially
9 days.
Where there's lag between the actual game going up on Twitch, because there's just, in general, there's about a 1 minute Twitch lag for everything. So there's that 1 minute lag on top of like just this crazy input of data from the Twitch chat. Because, I mean, when I tuned in, there were 88,000 viewers. And yeah. quite a few of those were participating in chat and telling them, you know, A, B, up, down, you know, whatever. And I was just like, holy crap, like, I can't even. So that's going on right now. If you are interested, then, well, first of all, Pokemon Red has been, like, the number one Twitch game for the last, like, 8 days, which is really, really funny because, first of all, it's a Nintendo title, which are, like, never on Twitch, mm-hmm. and second of all, it's Pokemon from Game Boy from how long ago?
A lot,
it's
like,
96?
It's
the number one game on Twitch, and yeah. it's all because of this one stream, so if you click on just Twitch and then sort stream by game or whatever you do, then mm-hmm. if you see Pokemon Red, click on it and you'll go straight there.
Like, so one of the crazy stories that's come up reading this, the article from CNET is really good because it kind of gives a few of the cliff note, like, really hilarious stories. And one of them's like, they ended up deleting their main Pokemon that they got, like yeah. their Charmander or whatever they went with, by like letting it go. Like, the
yeah,
chat room
releasing
elected
it into the
that.
Wild. Yeah.
yeah. And that's like, that's like a big mistake in Pokemon. Like, your main main Pokemon, like, that's your best friend forever.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, come on. Have you never seen the anime?
Well, yes, I have, actually. Oh, I really, really liked Pokemon growing up in terms of the anime cartoon. I didn't actually have a Game Boy.
Oh.
But yeah, so that's going on. Go check it out. It's, if nothing else, it's interesting. And I've had a couple of people who, after I tweeted out this story, responded back just saying, you know, like, oh, I went in there. And, you know, they've been going in with specific blocks of time and a specific goal, saying, okay, I know where they are in Pokemon Red. I have an hour and a half. In that hour and a half, I'm going to get them up that set of stairs.
Right.
And that is, like, all they do for an hour and a half, and they're really enjoying it. So I think it's really cool. It's a really interesting experiment. So if you want to check it out, go check it out. Definitely recommend it. The second thing that happened last week was that Irrational Games is gone, at least as we know it. So Ken Levine is starting a new studio. Everyone who worked for Irrational is getting some kind of severance packages, but boom, gone. And those of you who don't know, Irrational Games is behind BioShock. So, a little shocking.
Boom. Yeah. Really? People yeah. have lost their jobs, Jocelyn.
Oh, come on.
I'm just joking. No, they have lost their jobs. Yeah, this game is a huge surprise to me when I saw it on Twitter. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that this is probably the best way 200 people can lose their jobs. Because Take-Two is doing a really good thing here in the sense that they're, like, having, like, a career day and they're mm-hmm. not kicking them out of the office. Like, Ken Levine, to me, it didn't make much sense. Like, why would Take-Two let all these awesomely talented people go mm-hmm. in a perfectly operating studio, just get, like, a new lead in there and start making, like, the next big thing? But
yeah,
it's a little weird, and it makes sense that if, like, Ken was going to go off on his own and do something, like, similar to, like, Gone Home was an offshoot of 2K Marin when they mm-hmm. had built BioShock 2. Levine wanted to go and do that. Take 15 people of his closest employees at Irrational and go build like a gone home.
Yeah.
But I guess he pitched it to Take-Two and they said, well, why don't you do it here? And we'll just, you know, let all the 185 people go and you stay
all
here.
Those other guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
But and that's true. Like, Take-Two is actually going the extra mile and not just giving severance packages, but kind of going out of their way to help the people that they've had to let go and, you know, doing the job fairs, going out, you know, doing the marketing for all of these people as opposed to just saying, okay, you're gone, you're not my problem anymore. So I think it's probably the best example of a studio closing and how it's being dealt with that we've seen in the last couple of years. I mean, we've covered so many stories from like 38 and I feel like there was like two other big ones that we've covered in the last year. 38 obviously is on everybody's minds and I can remember that one quite clearly. But
THQ is a big one.
Oh, THQ, right. I was like, I know there was another big, huge one, and chat room's going to crucify me for this one. But, yeah, so, I mean, we've covered some pretty big ones, and I think that this is the kind of, I guess, happiest of the sad sort of thing. So I'm happy to see what Take-Two's doing here. This is pretty fantastic. And the final piece of news that we saw last week was a leak from, well, somebody, it wasn't so much a leak or a data mine. Basically, somebody weaseled their way in between some maintenance to Battle.net. And in the store, they found that the WoW Boost 90 is going to be priced at $60.
Right.
Whoa.
That, I mean, at first, that seems like a lot of money. But when you do the math, how long does it take to get to 90?
Which is pretty much the argument that's being put forth, and it's the one that my gut agrees with, is that, you know, like when I go to work, my time I make, you know, in and around $20 an hour. So if it takes me more than 3 hours to level from 1 to 90, this is worth it from a straight up how much my time is worth. So it seems like a lot. But basically, you're paying $60, which is the price of a game, which is kind of more where I fall. So you're paying $60, which is the price of a game, to essentially skip 4 games. You know, you're skipping Vanilla, you're skipping Burning Crusade, you're skipping Cataclysm, and you're skipping Mists of Pandaria, which I don't think anyone should skip Mists of Pandaria. But anyways, you're skipping Pandaria to go straight into Warlords of Draenor, where all your friends are playing. So,
right.
Yes, it doubles the price. Although, if you're buying Warlords of Draenor, you get one of these boosts for free anyway. Which I think, knowing now what Blizzard could potentially be charging for this, the auto boost to 90 for buying the expansion, holy crap, what a deal. Like, that pretty much pays for your expansion. Blizzard's essentially giving you, what is Warlords of Draenor, $40? So Blizzard's, like, giving you $20.
Well, you know, I think the boost originally was there in Warlords of Draenor to be like, okay, we want more people to play WoW, or at least we want the hardcores to attract their friends. One of the biggest detractors is, I don't want to spend 2 years leveling. I want to just jump in with you, experience new content, and I don't want to touch any of that old stuff. And then
I will say, I've done some leveling because, I mean, I wrote an article for Doghouse Network, which is up there. So if you want to go check it out, I highly suggest that you do, because I just started playing WoW about 2 years ago now. And so it did take me about a year and a half to level from 1 to 90 because I, you know, and I go into detail of why that is in the article. So since then, I have started to level other characters. I have a level 50 monk, which is the easiest. Like, I suggest, if you want to go through the leveling process, make a monk. They're stupid fast. They get XP boosts just for freaking logging in. It's ridiculous.
Weird.
So if you go through, level a monk, then just pay to have them change to whatever race and class you want it to be. Because, like, then you get to experience the level, and, you know, at the same time, you can just pay that extra $25 or whatever to switch them to be whatever class you want. But anyways, that aside, I mean, like, the leveling process, though fast and less painful when you're not reading all the quests, when you're just kind of trying to blow through the content as fast as you can to get up to 90, it's not a year-long process. It's not necessarily fun. But it can be done quicker than what I did originally. But at the same time, like, I don't really want to go through it again. Like, right. I'm doing it to experience different classes and to try to get classes that I want to play in Warlords up to 90. Because, again, it's only one level 90. So I'm, you know, trying to do some achievements, play some old dungeons, all that kind of crap. But in the end, like, I'm trying to get things to 90 for Warlords. So, I don't know. $60 does make sense. Now, the other side of this argument is $60 is way too much because of things like realm transfers, race changes, class changes, all these things being priced in and around the $30 range. So some are slightly cheaper, some are slightly more, but in the end, you're looking at half the price of a boost to 90 for all of these other server type services. So really, if you're just checking a box from, you know, like a 1 to a 0, like, or whatever, like, what level is this character? 1 or, you know, someone goes in and types 90, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's another server type thing. And where WoW is still subscription-based and you're paying $15 every month, and some of these people have been paying $15 every month, every year, since WoW came out, which is, we're coming up on 120 months because it's going to be 10 years in October. So by the time Warlords comes out and this service becomes available, it will have been 120 months at $15 a month. That's a lot of dollars. So to nickel and dime, well, it's not even nickel and diming at this point, you know, to ask them
dollars
to pay,
and dollars.
Yeah, to ask people who have these kind of subscriptions pay such a huge price, and I think a lot of WoW stuff is overpriced anyway. I mean, see previous conversations, remounts and pets. Like, there is no supply, so there, like, you know, there is no demand, or all there is demand, but there is no supply because the supply is essentially infinite, so it could be $2. Anyways, you know, all of the mounts and pet stuff is overpriced, in my opinion. So for them to go even further and price this at $60, I can see the other side of the argument as well.
Well, I mean, you're right. A lot of the Blizzard stuff, in our eyes, is overpriced. But I remember when they first introduced these services, they said, listen, guys, we know it seems expensive, but we only want the people who really want to do this. To pay the money. We don't want this to be a, hey, you know, I kind of want to change servers and just go at it for $5. You know, that they don't want that because eventually having, think about this, the 7 million people who play have that thought process multiple times a day. That gets costly. It's not just flipping a switch and you're on a different server. It's it's that 7 million. Imagine going and flicking the light 7 million times and you tell me how long that takes. You know, like, it compounds the problem. And I think the issue I had was, like, who is this for if, you know, the only way you're accessing level 90 content is through Worlds of Draenor, through the expansion, getting the 90 boost for free. Yeah. Who is this optional extra 90 boost for? You know, the hardcore that wants to raid with a druid who already leveled a mage fireball guy and... That is amazing.
Pretty much.
You know, it's confusing me why people, you know, see this large cost and be like, oh, that's the price of a AAA game. It's like, well, technically, with that $60, you're getting access to a AAA game. It's raiding, you know?
True. And, I mean, raiding in and of itself is so much time and effort that you can say that, you know, raiding is an entirely different game. It's a part of WoW that I have never played. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can argue that something like that is an entirely different game and possibly worth $60 as an entrance fee. You can argue that. And then that comes down to what role do you want to play? Maybe you take raiding really seriously and you're part of two different teams and one team needs a healer and one team needs a tank. And so, you know, you need to level a warrior and a priest, but you don't actually want to take that time. You want to jump right into both teams. So you have your one boost to 90 that came with Warlords, and then you have your other boost to 90 that you pay for to have that healer and the tank. I don't know.
I think somebody who wants to boost multiple characters to 90 isn't worried about buying other games because their other games are, I feel like playing my mage tonight. That's their other game. You know, and I know those people exist where they just solely play World of Warcraft and, you know.
I think that this is more going to come into play if it's giftable. You know, and I know that you can buy Battle.net balances, but I don't know if you can actually buy and gift Battle.net services. So it will be really interesting to see if, like, even though, yes, you would get a free boost to 90 with Warlords, like, if I could say, okay, come play WoW with me, and I'll buy you a character so you can play, you know? Mm-hmm. So then you're essentially, like, buying something for your friend, and you then they can come play with you.
Yeah, I mean that would be interesting. I mean, I think Blizzard's experimenting with this stuff. I mean, this isn't XP boosting. This isn't, you know, this is strictly like a, hey, you want a character that can play the newest content? Give us $60 and it's all yours. Mm. You know,
well,
I think
it's a really great strategy because, yeah. I mean, if you're giving boost to 90, whether, like, take the selling it in the store stuff aside, just the fact that you're giving a free 90 character with the purchase of the expansion pack, it means that all of those people who are coming into WoW, either coming back after years away or who have never played, don't have to go through content that, first of all, doesn't make sense from a lore standpoint because it's irrelevant now, or looks like it's 10 years old. You're throwing people straight into Draenor, and they don't have to see all the other stuff, all the old low-poly stuff. You know, they're going straight into Pandaria and then Draenor, you know? So yeah. I can see from a business standpoint how this makes massive amounts of sense for Blizzard. So I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I wonder, like, it would be so cool, and I know they probably won't, but it would be so interesting if they would actually release the stats around this and say, okay, yes, you know, 1% of players have purchased the boost to 90. Yeah. You know, that I would really like to see that. I don't think that they'll ever give us that information, but you never know.
Yeah.
One can hope.
Maybe down the road.
So I think that pretty much does it for this week. We do have an iTunes review, so thank you so much, Jedi Hero 8343 or 8343. I don't know how you say it. You'll have to write me and tell me. So he says, Jocelyn is awesome. 5 stars.
So, thanks, Jedi Hero. I thought this was about me, and then I read the title.
So he says, I just wanted to say you are super cute, and thanks for tweeting back at me today. It was really awesome and made my day. Aww. Also, enjoy the show. Good job. See you in Tamriel, which, for those of you who don't know, is Elder Scrolls. So I am super psyched for Elder Scrolls Online. And have I told you that I pre-ordered? Because, dude, I totally pre-ordered.
You told us. I
know this is probably the fourth week in a row that I've told you I pre-ordered that.
You know what? I look forward to seeing the cloth map that you get with your
oh, my God. I'm so excited. Oh, now the chat room saying Team Jocelyn. Yay, Team Yay. Jocelyn. So if you'd like to visit us on the web, you can do so at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including Starcast, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, Amove Radio, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow me, Jocelyn, on Twitter at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffitt. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+, sometimes, when I feel like it, which isn't often.
It auto-posts now.
Oh, does it auto-post now?
Yes, it does. That shows how much you check it. It's been auto-posting for months. Well, oh, a yeah, month.
No, I never check. If you would like to email and rant about how I never check Facebook, you can do so at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to Greg Moffitt for creating our music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We'd also like to thank Joel Duggan, who does all of our graphic work. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week, next Thursday, for StarCraft 2. Pew, pew, pew.